produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, artists, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. Visit www.redaphid.com. It's Monday, April 7th, and it's 4:20 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. We hope you enjoyed the weekend music stash. In case you missed it, Cannabis Carrie is putting together the last 10 songs from our daily shows and combining them into one weekend podcast for your partying pleasure. Tune in on the weekends and get your ganja groove on. As usual on Monday here on the stash, it's Political Activism Day, so we've got our reformers calendar right after the news. Then, we've got the perfect set of local activists to represent tonight's NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Representing the Kansas Jayhawks will be activist Laura Green from the Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition, who is fighting for a medical necessity defense bill to protect medical marijuana patients in Kansas. Then, after our musical break, representing the Memphis Tigers, even though he's from Nashville, we'll speak with Terry Jarnigan, who is announcing the formation of the brand new Tennessee Normal chapter. For our musical break on this Blues Monday, Cannabis Carrie brings us back one of our previous stash bands, Giles from Northwest England. This traditional guitar, bass, drums trio performs their song, Mind Your Own Damn Business, and we'd like to dedicate that song to our federal government. And remember, if you're a business or a nonprofit who'd like your message heard on the Daily Audio Stash or the Normal Weekly News, you can advertise with us. We have rates for every budget and a 10% discount for nonprofits. You can target your message to the focused audience of enlightened cannabis consumers that you're looking for. With over 28,000 daily downloads and hundreds of thousands of embedded players on websites worldwide, advertising with Normal is the most effective way of reaching your potential customers. Just send us an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll have you on the air in no time. So sit back and relax with your favorite strain. It's time for your Normal Daily Audio Stash. Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Hash Bash features John Sinclair at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Hash Bash survived Saturday, as its organizers say it always will. Pushed out of its traditional spot on the diag by a University of Michigan student group called Focus, a modified 30-minute hash bash took place in what organizers of both parties said was in the spirit of getting along. A crowd filled the University of Michigan diag on a sunny day with temperatures in the high 50s. People crowded on the steps, many expecting to hear speakers for the Hash Bash, a pro-marijuana rally held on campus since 1972. What those on campus for the Hash Bash didn't know was that the space and the public address system had been reserved for Focus, which wanted to hold its annual block party on the diag. The group compromised and allowed poet John Sinclair to speak. A former Ann Arborite, John Sinclair is best known for the marijuana conviction that led to a 1971 Free John Sinclair rally at the University of Michigan's Chrysler Arena. The rally featured the late John Lennon. Campus police estimated 1,200 to 1,500 on the Diag, but the news estimated the number is closer to 2,000. Sinclair kicked off the impromptu hash bash at 12:20 p.m. and spoke for about 15 minutes. Sinclair told the crowd, quote, "I like to get high. I believe I have a right to get high. People want drugs," he said to cheers. "They want to get high because it's all good," end quote. Well, you know, we spoke with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com on Friday, who pointed out that this is a common tactic by our opponents to try to find some group that will reserve a traditional venue used by anti-prohibition groups in order to disrupt our right to assemble peaceably and petition our government for a redress of grievances. We had a similar incident with our Portland hemp stock last year here in the Rose City, but our event's only 3 years old. After 37 years, it stretches the limits of credibility to think that there's a student group that is not aware that the first Saturday in April is the hash bash at the Diag. It would be like somebody trying to schedule a folk music festival at Times Square for the night of December 31st. Teen charged with giving toddler marijuana. Newark, Ohio. A central Ohio teenager has been charged with giving a toddler marijuana. 16-year-old Angel Daly was arrested and has pleaded not guilty to charges of corrupting and endangering the child, according to police. Prosecutors say they were tipped off after a videotape was found in a recorder trade-in at a Columbus pawn shop. A juvenile complaint said Daly, quote, "participated in the administration and holding the child while causing her to ingest marijuana and or illegal drugs," end quote. Prosecutors say they are not clear about Daly's relationship with the toddler. Well, I've been seeing a lot more and more stories like this where young adults or teenagers are charged with forcing or at least allowing kids as young as 4 years old to use marijuana. This is certainly not what we mean by responsible adult use of marijuana. Forcing anyone to use a drug against their will is a crime. The prohibitionists are going to paint this as the inevitable consequence of people's use of drugs. The "what about the children" argument is one of the few roadblocks that remain in re-legalizing marijuana. So it is important that we acknowledge these stories and then point out that some young adults and teenagers may force or allow children to use alcohol, but it doesn't logically follow that we should prohibit alcohol again. Or that some people are irresponsible gun owners and leave their weapons in places where children can find them, but it doesn't logically follow that we ban all guns. The logical response is to tightly control and regulate alcohol, firearms, and drugs, and the complete prohibition of drugs is the opposite of tight control and regulation. Prohibition is the abdication of the control of drugs to a criminal underground. We should remind people that, legal or not, a tiny minority will misuse marijuana in an irresponsible way. But if marijuana were legal, we'd have tighter controls on teenagers having access to marijuana and no prohibition profit to motivate underground dealers. Teen use of marijuana in the Netherlands, where marijuana is tolerated, is half that of the U.S. Hemp advocates tout plants' virtues, from the Idaho Mountain Express in Haley, Idaho. Industrial hemp fibers can be manufactured into fabrics for clothing, blankets, carpet, upholstery, sails, tarps, awnings, rope, and numerous other items. It can be made into paper, plastic, or hemp oil. British researchers have used it to manufacture surfboards. It's used in some health food snacks, for lotions, and in manufacturing car parts. Industrial hemp, advocates note, requires little or no herbicides or pesticides. Bugs don't usually like to eat it, and it grows thick enough and fast enough to block out would-be competitive weeds. It has good soil restoration qualities. It was grown extensively in the United States until laws in the 20th century made it illegal. It can be legally grown now, but only by permit from the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency. Those permits are few and far between. Several states, including North Dakota, Maine, Montana, and West Virginia, have passed legislation to allow farmers to grow industrial hemp, but their efforts remain blocked by the DEA. California passed a bill to legalize hemp, but Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger vetoed it. Worldwide, the industrial hemp picture is different. Growing the plant is allowed in most countries, and 33 nations, including Canada, are developing industries centered on the production of the crop. Irwin A. Bud Schultz of the North American Industrial Hemp Council studied crop diversification while employed with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture and found that industrial hemp was the only viable crop to fit in with corn and soybean crop rotations. Schultz said that the biggest problem with legalizing industrial hemp in the United States is because the DEA and other government entities continue to cling to an outdated definition of the plant that links it to marijuana. He said it will take either a presidential declaration or an act of Congress to change that definition. Schultz said, quote, "It's going to happen because American agriculture wants it, American industry wants it, and the public wants it," end quote. And the public has shown by their votes that they want industrial hemp, at least in the town of Haley, Idaho, where this story was published. A hemp legalization initiative, along with initiatives for cannabis decriminalization and medical marijuana, were passed in Haley by large margins last election.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
Reviews in on DEA. It all seems so futile. I told you a couple of weeks ago about the new reality TV series, DEA, which just debuted last week on Spike TV. Now the reviews are coming in, and it's not looking good for the drug warriors. First, from Michigan Daily, the state where DEA is filmed. DEA is like cops, but 35 miles east of Ann Arbor. The central question of the series seems to be, are we winning the war on drugs? The DEA's answer is a pronounced yes, but the show contradicts itself. How can we be winning if we constantly let the criminal go for revealing his supplier? If anything, DEA exposes the problems within the drug enforcement system. DEA may show the excitement of drug raids, but it also shows the long periods of waiting and scheming by the officers. The likability of the cops and the undercover actions of the Drug Enforcement Administration don't add up to much when placed next to a half hour of sitting in a van listening to a wired agent talking to a dealer. Even when the actual action takes place, it ends up being nothing more than 3 minutes of swearing, blurred faces, and innumerable threats. Sitting through the majority of the show isn't worth it. It's not easy to find positives of DEA, unless you're a dealer looking for an inside scoop. TV has always been a place for viewers to escape their ho-hum matters while living vicariously through others and possibly getting a laugh along the way. But DEA doesn't do any of those things, and with its depressing premise and lackluster entertainment value, only a small demographic would find this enjoyable. Well, there's a glowing review. Let's take a look at this one from the Toronto Star. In the end, it all seems so futile. Undoubtedly, this was not the intended message of DEA, a new six-part series that returns a spotlight to the battle that once occupied the zeitgeist before terror, the war on drugs. In fact, since the DEA was created in 1973 by executive order of U.S. President Richard Nixon, 75 agents have been killed in the line of duty. This isn't mentioned on the show, nor is the cost of the war on drugs, estimated to be over $500 billion for the past 35 years. But after 1 hour, you can't help but wonder if they appreciate the intractable, cyclical, and arguably winless nature of the war they've been asked to fight. Special Agent Brad Ripken said, quote, "These people that we target, they're 2- and 3-time offenders. You know, they've been through the prison system. They come out and they go right back to it," end quote. In another scene, a 60-year-old suspect is arrested. We learn that he's been in and out of the system since 1974, when he first started dealing. That those in the drug racket are particularly prone to recidivism is not surprising. What is surprising, though, is that communities, governments, and law enforcement continue to fixate on supply without adequately considering demand, which is to say, treatment for addiction. Well, I hope more people who watch this show come away with the same impression. Not about DEA's poor entertainment value, but about the DEA's poor economic and public policy value. Maybe when people see the great effort and taxpayer expense needed for these shocking SWAT-style raids and officers armed like Rambo bursting into American homes, followed by releasing the person they just arrested if he flips on another suspect higher up in the food chain, they'll realize the futility of the current war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
George Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
This is your Reformers Calendar for the week of April 7th, 2008. Tuesday, April 8th, 2008, in Tucson, Arizona, toward a Science of Consciousness 2008 at the Tucson Convention Center. The 8th Biennial Tucson Conference continues an interdisciplinary tradition of intense, far-ranging, and rigorous discussions on all approaches to the fundamental issue of how the brain produces conscious experience. An estimated 800 attendees from 6 continents will participate in 400 presentations, including in 21 pre-conference workshops, 12 plenary sessions, 21 concurrent talk sessions, 2 poster sessions, and, for the first time, an interactive art and technology of consciousness exhibit. For more information, see consciousness.arizona.edu/tucson2008.htm or check the link on our Stash blog. Friday, April 11th, in Portland, Oregon, a double showing of the documentary film Dispensing Cannabis, The California Story, will be held at the Studio 6 Theater, beginning promptly at 7 p.m. and again at 10 p.m. In this hour-long documentary, voices from inside discuss the practices and issues involved in distributing medical cannabis. Of the 12 states in 2006 that permitted medical cannabis use, California was the only state that allowed for the distribution of the medicine. How and where do people get their medicine? How does one ensure that their medicine is clean, safe, and is sufficient quality? Tours of 5 cannabis dispensary models provide an unprecedented look into this quasi-legal business. Doctors, lawyers, law enforcement, patients, and caregivers share their perspectives and concerns. And Sunday, April 13th, in Los Angeles, California, a medical marijuana comedy show extravaganza at the Comedy Store's main room, 8433 Sunset Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. This show will feature the comedic talents of Freddie Lockhart, Ngayo, Darwin Hines, Terry Joyce, Tasty Jeff Richards from Saturday Night Live fame, and more. There is also a rumor of an appearance by Russell Peters himself. You can also meet Jack Herer, the author of The Emperor Wears No Clothes, and help him with the California Hemp and Health Initiative of 2008. Meet Richard Eastman and support the L.A. County Medical Marijuana Exposition and Patients Festival. Showtime is at 8:30. Doors open at 8 o'clock. Tickets are only $20 with a $5 discount for members of Compassion Clubs. Additional details available at howarddover.com. This is a 21 and over event with a 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, this 10 individuals.
Yeah.
And we just want y'all to know that weed helps, you know what I'm saying? So I just want y'all to stop messing with the people who need it to live. It's helping people out there with cancer, AIDS, you know what I'm saying? So y'all gotta let it be, man. Legalize this.
Well, for Political Activism Day here on the Daily Audio Stash, we're going to turn to the great state of Kansas, and we're joined on the phone here by Laura Green, who's the director of the Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition. And Laura, welcome to the Daily Audio Stash.
Thanks so much, Russ.
And I guess we should, before we get any further, we should say go Jayhawks, right?
Yes, go Jayhawks. Big day.
That's
big day,
right.
For the Jayhawk fans.
Good day for the Jayhawk fans. That's right. So the Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition has been instrumental in shepherding some medical marijuana legislation in the state of Kansas. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that legislation?
Yeah, that's right, Russ. The Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition was formed with the support of the former Attorney General of the state of Kansas, Bob Steffen, who's the longest-serving Republican and the longest-serving Attorney General in the state. And We got a bill introduced into the Kansas legislature this year that would allow for the medical marijuana defense to prosecution should a patient be arrested for use of marijuana as medicine.
So a medical necessity defense, not like, say, Oregon or California, where there's an actual medical marijuana program.
Right. This would just allow for the medical necessity defense. We decided to go with that route primarily because a similar bill was passed by the legislature back in 95 on the House side, and the Senate didn't vote on it, wouldn't take it up. But we thought since it had already passed one House, one side of the legislature first, that we would see if we could get that back into the Senate side and see if we could get it through the Senate.
So is part of the calculation here just the conservative nature of Kansas politics, that it would just be too much to bite off right now to try to go for full-scale medical marijuana?
That's right. We know that going out and asking for the whole enchilada, so to speak, would not even get us a hearing, much less any worthwhile discussion by the legislature. But since this has a precedent, and it is being put forward by the former attorney general, who, as you know, is the top cop in the state, we really thought that, you know, this would get the discussion going and get people thinking about, you know, whether we should be arresting people who are serious and terminally ill in Kansas who are using marijuana with the recommendation of their physician.
Now, what has the reaction been from lawmakers and the media there in Kansas for this issue?
Well, you know, it's really been positive. The media has been very positive. In fact, we've gotten several great editorials in some of what I would consider very conservative cities, small conservative cities. Had quite a few newspaper editors write us, join our coalition. The legislature, on the other hand, has been very cautious. It is an election year for all the seats in our legislature this year, so I think people are a little afraid to come out and say what they think. I think they're afraid that their constituents may not back them. Now, we've tried to reassure them that, of course, their constituents would back them. It is a majority issue in the state of Kansas. Our polling has shown that over, I think it's 62% of Kansans would support a change in Kansas law to allow serious and terminally ill to use marijuana as medicine. So it's just an education campaign, really, at this point for the legislature that we're doing.
So in this sort of situation, then, if we're talking about a medical necessity defense, someone would have to be arrested first, booked, and taken to court before they could actually put forth this defense.
That's right, Russ. Currently under Kansas law right now, if you get a possession of marijuana charge, your first possession is a misdemeanor, but your second is a felony. And a felony is a pretty big pill to swallow, so to speak,
yeah.
Especially for someone who is seriously ill. So in order to keep people from getting, you know, becoming felons or potentially becoming felons in the state of Kansas, we went for that bill. Now, there's been many patients that have come forward to tell us that they've been arrested, and one woman in particular was arrested two times in the same city, small town down in southeast Kansas, and the judge actually gave her a double diversion, which meant that he had to really bend the law there quite a bit to give her a double diversion because he didn't want her to become a convicted felon.
So you've got judges on your side as well that have seen the futility of this.
Judges and, of course, defense attorneys and some prosecutors as well. So, you know, they see this also as something that they just don't want in the courtroom. Prosecutors don't feel comfortable, obviously, prosecuting sick people. Now, we would like them, of course, just to drop the charges and not prosecute them at all, but a lot of them just aren't willing to do that, not here in Kansas.
Yeah, no one looks good throwing a sick person in prison, that's for sure. Now, is there any way that people listening to this podcast can help out the Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition, a website, a phone number?
Yes, our website is www.kscc.org, and that stands for Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition. Our email is info@kscc.org, and on our website, we have a form where people can join our coalition by merely signing on to our statement of principle regarding medical marijuana. The more signatures that we get, the more it demonstrates to the legislature the need that we have in Kansas for this type of legislation.
Good, good. Okay, so KSCCC.org. We'll have links to that up at our blog at stash.normal.org, both on the post for today and the sidebar. We'll add Kansas to our state and local allies. And we want to thank Laura Green for joining us here. She's the director of the Kansas Compassionate Care Coalition. And Laura, good luck on the basketball game tonight as well.
Thank you so much, Russ, and thank you for having us on your show.
You're welcome. Here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, we work hard to change our nation's marijuana laws through education and discussion. But we also take the time to relax and unwind with an eclectic mix of pod-safe music from many independent artists. We look for music that speaks to the growing truth about cannabis, or music that speaks to broader themes of freedom, liberty, social justice, equality, and protest. To find out more about the artists and download the music you hear on this podcast, just log on to stash.normal.org. And if you'd like to get your music heard by the online cannabis community, just send us an email at stash@normal.org. Welcome to Blues Monday, Stashers. We've heard from the band Giles before, but we haven't heard them sing the blues. This tune, Mind Your Own Damn Business, has a steady rock and blues beat with a real Blues Monday attitude. Giles is a guitar-driven trio from the northwest of England, fronted by the talented Mark Cohurst, who's originally from Holland. With his son Piet on bass and Terry Shaughnessy on drums, I'm beginning to think that Giles can play any genre and sound like they own it. Maybe I should drop them a line and ask them to cook up their own version of reggae next. I got no doubt these guys would nail it. Now, how do I conquer Mondays? Well, you guys all know, and everyone else can just mind their own damn business. For more information on the band Giles, you can check the links to podshow.com up on our blog at stash.normal.org, and of course you can get your download of the MP3 of this song at our blog as well. This is Giles with Mind Your Own Damn Business.
Mind your own damn business. It's no business of yours. Mind your own damn business. It's no business of yours. What I do with my time, that's no business of yours. If I sleep till Friday, what would it be to you?
The whole bottle, just how drunk would I? no business of yours. Mind your own damn business, it's no business of yours. What I do with my time, that's no business of yours. So mind your own damn business, mind your own damn business. It's my own damn business, mind your own damn business. What I do with my time, that's no business of yours.
Hello, I'm Casper Leach, host of Time for Hemp. When our politicians passed the Marijuana Tax Act in 1937, the citizens of the United States had no idea that a new civil war had begun. Now, after more than 7 decades of this war's escalation and spending well over $1 trillion of taxpayers' money, the result has been an arrest record of more than 37 million brothers and sisters for nonviolent drug offenses. Every year, we choose to continue this war. We do so at the cost of well over $69 billion. Add to this, we are building prisons faster than we are building schools. In fact, the prison industry is now one of the fastest growing industries in the United States. We must end this civil war. We can with your help. Please, join LEAP, the Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and become part of the solution to ending the war on drugs. Go to leap.cc and find out how to become a member.
Well, it's very important that we all work together to try to overturn adult marijuana prohibition. And one of the great things about Normal is that we're a grassroots organization. We're all about organizing people at the local level to do what they can to help end adult marijuana prohibition. We're all in this together. And we're very proud to announce the formation of a new local chapter in Nashville, Tennessee. This is Tennessee Normal. It's just being incorporated. And I'm speaking now with the incorporator of Tennessee Normal, which is Terry Jarnigan, who joins us here on the phone from Nashville. So, Terry, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Russ. How are you?
I'm doing great. And so as far as you know, is this the first chapter in Tennessee that you're aware of?
There is another chapter in Memphis, and that particular chapter is a student-run chapter at the University of Memphis.
Oh, okay. So we've got a university-level chapter, but this will be the first, I guess we'd say, out-of-university or just regular general public sort of chapter in the state of Tennessee.
That is correct, and that is actually the motivation. We wanted something where the any citizen who's interested could be a member and be active.
Now, what does it take to get yourself started as a chapter in Normal?
It's very simple. I would just go to normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org, and click on membership, and from there it shows chapters, and then you can click on your state, see what chapters you have. If you don't have one, you can request a pamphlet. You receive the pamphlet, and then you incorporate under your state laws and just follow the rules that Normal sends you, which is pretty basic. You need, I think it's approximately 5 or more members to initiate the paperwork with Normal. And of course, then do just whatever your state requires at that point.
Yeah, that's right. Just 5 people, 5 like-minded people that are willing to put their name down, register with the state as a nonprofit organization, and then you're part of Normal, part of this big family.
Yeah, it's not a complicated process at all. It just might look a little intimidating.
Now, are you guys ready to start bringing in members to the chapter now?
Yes, we are. We have a handful of them right now, and probably about 15 or 20. Would be my guess that I'm aware of, and we are having a film festival on April 20th, of course, at 4:20, and that will coincide when Normal Tennessee becomes a actual entity under Tennessee state law.
Oh, how nice.
And so it's kind of giving birth to the organization and kicking off a film festival, which will include Reefer Madness, of course.
Of course.
Ultimate propaganda film, and also, I remember Busted's going to be included in that, and I think Grass.
Oh, those are all good shows to be showing. Anyone who hasn't seen the Grass documentary really needs to get to see it. It's narrated by Woody Harrelson, gives you the whole history of marijuana prohibition in America. And then, of course, the busted video from the Flexure Rights Organization teaching you how to deal with police and the three most common police encounters that we're likely to face. Now, are there other activities that you have planned after the 420? Are you guys participating in the Million Marijuana March or any of the festivals that are coming up in the future, in the summer?
Well, as you can imagine, we've been working very hard just getting the film festival up and going, not to mention the nonprofit organization, Incorporated. That's taking up basically all our time right now, but I do have in my vision doing something with the National Marijuana March in May, as well as perhaps a Harvest Festival. This is Nashville, so
that's right.
Loves their music, well, whichever kind you listen to. So I'm thinking some kind of musical Harvest Festival for October, since that's when our glorious buds are harvested, would be appropriate.
That would be appropriate. I think that's a great idea. And how can we get people in touch with Tennessee Normal? Is there a phone number or a website they can get to?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Right now we are working on our website, and I do not have the contact information on the top of my head, but if you will go to normal.org, I am going to contact some of the people I'm working with and see what they suggest, and perhaps I can get a link set up on their website.
Oh, sure. And we can give you a link from our website at stash.normal.org. Just send it to me in an email, Terry, and we'll make sure that everything's linked up for people to get a hold of you guys.
All right. That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, before we let you go here, one other thing. Are there any sort of political things going on in Tennessee with regard to medical marijuana or maybe decriminalization that you can see in the foreseeable future?
Well, of course, that is the heart of our purpose, and it is looking positive in Tennessee. There's been committee hearings on it. It was voted down last time, but as we all know, you usually have to have a few rejections before you get where you need to be, and everything seems to be moving along. Tennessee has never really been that stringent on the prohibition compared to a lot of surrounding states when it comes to simple possession, things like that, which is we just want to go ahead and get that official to where it is at least decriminalized, as well as the medical. I'm very excited about our position in Tennessee. I look forward to us being the 13th state to have this medicine available to people who need it.
Let's remind everyone also that the 420 Film Festival will be taking place in Nashville, Tennessee at 4:20 p.m. We'll have links to that up at our blog at stash.normal.org.
And, Russ, I did forget to mention that is at the Belcourt Theater.
The Belcourt Theater in Nashville, Tennessee on Sunday, April 20th at 4:20 p.m. Terry, thanks so much for joining us here, and good luck with your chapter.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent.
As always, we leave you with today's cannabis quote, and this one is one of my favorites, from former President Thomas Jefferson, who was also a hemp farmer. Quote, "If people let government decide which foods they eat and medicines they take, their bodies will soon be in as sorry a state as are the souls of those who live under tyranny," end quote. Couldn't be more true. The right to our own bodies and our own minds is the ultimate inalienable right. It's time for government to end adult marijuana prohibition. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for tuning in to The Stash. We'll be here tomorrow with all the news and interviews you can use for your cannabis community. Until then, take care of each other, tokers.